I'm overlooking Crosshaven, a village in Ireland, County Cork, very famous among the yachting fraternity, home to the oldest yachting club in the world, which still goes by the name the Royal Cork Yacht Club. And it was founded in 1720, I think. There's a lady sitting opposite me who will know exactly. And it is a glorious sunny day. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this? Because the lady I'm going to be talking to in a second is in a house that overlooks this most amazing view, and she's going to give it all up. She's leaving. She's going away for a little while. Tanya, where are you going and why?
Easier to answer the first part than the second part. I'm going to Havana, Cuba again. Why? Because there's some magnetic pull between Havana and me, I think. First time I landed there 7 years ago, I felt as if I'd come home. And ever since, I've been trying to figure out a way to spend more and more time there. So this is kind of the next step, going spending an extended period of time there.
Well, it must be some pull to pull you away from the delights and the beauty of Crosshaven. Anyway, that's not what this audio boo is about. This is going to be a lengthy audio boo. And how long, I don't know. We're going to find out. Because while you're over in Havana, you're going to be blogging. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm here. Why am I here?
You're here not just for the view. When I decided to start a food blog, which was a torturous decision, the first thing I decided to do was go to people who knew what they were talking about when it came to blogging, which was you, and a few other writers like Paul O'Mahony, and decided to pick their brains because I figured you'd trodden a well worn path and you could give me some insight. It became very obvious very quickly that I have a complete lack of knowledge about photography. And when you're doing a food blog, it's kind of important to have good food photography. So a couple of weeks ago, I approached you and said, please, can you give me a tutorial? And please, can you take me from the basics so that I can at least start something? I'll develop as I go along and I'll probably have to invest time and money into equipment, but I need to be able to start with something basic to begin with. So hopefully that's why you're here.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to teach you how to take some photographs using the camera you have, which is just, it's a Nikon
Coolpix P300.
So would be a fairly easy camera to obtain and probably of a level that most food bloggers would have. Now, we're also going to teach people how to take photographs on their phone as well, because people forget most phones have a camera and they produce very usable photographs. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing. Now, you mentioned you're going to Cuba and you mentioned you're going to be writing a food blog. Mm-hmm. Most people will be looking at you going, well, that's going to be a very short food blog. The foodstuffs are not exactly plentiful in Cuba, is what we're led to believe in the West. Tell us about the situation and tell us about what kind of food blog you're going to have.
Well, hopefully I'll have an interesting food blog. For me, it's going to be Cuba reflected through the medium of food. So hopefully giving insight to people who haven't visited or who don't live there about what Cuba is like through my experience of food there. Whether that's procuring, they use the word conseguir in Spanish, which is very, very useful because they have to procure quite a lot of items, whether it be on the regular government market or black market or any other sorts of markets. But also, I think for me, there's an opportunity in Cuba which hasn't yet really been fully realised. There's little moves on the margins, but that is, it's a Caribbean island. Food production and sustainability is improving, albeit against the backdrop of the trade embargo with the United States and with Europe. But people are beginning to once again play with ingredients and beginning to explore cuisine, because quite frankly, it was just about nourishment and getting basic calories into you up until very recently. So I think for me, I'd like to take the ingredients that are available, which are generally speaking organic, generally speaking fresh off the vine or out of the earth, and use them to develop dishes using my kind of knowledge based on Western and Eastern cooking.
What's a typical Cuban dish?
A day in Cuba, both for lunch and dinner, is rice and beans. Rice, beans, maybe some vegetables, fruit for breakfast, maybe a bit of bread and a coffee. And it doesn't really change a whole lot from that. There might be a little bit of meat every now and again, but it's rice and beans.
Okay, and your task is when you get there to show people what they can do with their rice and beans.
Yeah, and to understand that there's a whole variety of things that you can do with rice. There may not be arborio rice to do risotto, but there's rice. So you can do a kind of a risotto. You can do arancini because there's a little bit of cheese or there's a little bit of meat and you can stuff the rice and you can deep fry them. So there's quite a few things, I think, that I can bring in terms of knowledge to Cuban food.
Well, very good. Well, my task this afternoon is to try and convey and teach some photography. We're going to be looking at very, very basic but very effective techniques. We're going to be using natural light a lot. We're going to be using natural reflectors and reflectors that are easily to hand, just to bounce light in. We're going to be looking at soft light and we're going to be looking at hard light. We're going to be looking at getting in close and we're going to be looking at context, because these things are also very important when it comes to photography. So we're going to leave you for now, and we're going to crack on, and every now and then we'll come back to you and we'll dip in and out. But we're signing off for the moment, and we're actually signing off drinking carrot and apple and ginger juice. This is the kind of thing that that you get. This is kind of the payment you get when you do these things. Right, checking in with you after the first bit of the tutorial. And it actually started off in a completely different place than I had anticipated, because what we initially started doing was looking at the blog theme that Tanya has and figuring out what size in terms of pixel along the longest side would work best on her blog. Then we also looked to see if we could get a photograph from her computer sized properly and up onto the blog. So that was the first step, and that's something I hadn't anticipated. I thought we'd delve straight into the technical side of photography, but actually more importantly is, of course, teaching people to get their photographs from their computer onto their blog. Then, secondly, we did the basics of exposure, and that was interesting for me because Tanya has a mind like a rapier, which means she understood the concepts fairly quickly, but it became apparent to me that these concepts could be confusing. Would you agree, Tanya?
Yeah. I suppose for me also it's the technical lingo, aperture, priority, shutter priority, but the whole how long your hole is open for and how big your hole is seems to have struck home.
There we are. That's kind of the level that it's the level of technical ability I have and understanding. I have to explain things in aperture becomes a hole and shutter speed becomes how long the hole is open for. There we are. We delved into things like balancing exposure and why you would have a larger aperture as opposed to a smaller aperture, a big hole versus a small hole, and what that does creatively. And we also discussed how you would balance a big hole with a shorter shutter speed and a small hole with a longer shutter speed. We touched upon histogram. Now, I wouldn't normally do that with somebody who is unfamiliar with photography, but like I say, Tanya with a rapier-like mind understood how a histogram works. So that was very useful. So far, the student is doing brilliantly. How are you finding the tutor? No pressure.
No pressure. The fact that you set the camera to settings that I then had to sort out was a little bit scary. It was actually proper like school. But no, it was a great sense of achievement, actually, when I was able to then adjust manually the aperture and the shutter and go, hey, I've actually been able to do this myself. So, and again, it's that whole thing of, it's about teaching. You see, you do, you think, you understand. Oh. What's that phrase?
Monkey see, monkey do?
No, thanks. Am I the monkey?
I don't know, I feel like the monkey sometimes. Anyway, we're practical, hands-on, doing it yourself seems to be the way to go. Right, so we've mastered some of the concepts of getting a correct exposure. We've also discussed how the camera can be confused by certain scenes, because, of course, the camera is always trying to make the world look like a percentage of grey. I think it's either 17 or 19. I told Tanya 19, it's probably wrong. somebody tweet the correct amount of grey that cameras see the world in, or the correct shade of grey that the cameras see the world in. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to start translating some of the technical into tools to allow Tanya to realise her vision of a photograph and the story she wants to tell through a photograph. So we'll talk to you later. Back again for part three. Tanya, what have you learned?
Well, teacher Roger, well, sir, we have looked at exposure. We've looked at creative in terms of what is the point of focus of the picture that you're about to take, which was interesting for me because you don't, in food photography, you don't always have a single ingredient to be the hero. You might have a group of objects. You might have the whole dish in its entirety. The other thing that was amazing for me was the composition bit and the whole rule of thirds. And I think that will really help me an awful lot with my photos going forward. What's in focus? What are the brightest colours in the photo? What are the brightest parts of the frame of the photo? And then we started working on light. So instead of buying fancy, expensive reflectors, we were using kitchen paper, A4 sheets of paper and pieces of tinfoil. And they are things that I can actually get in Cuba, which is fantastic.
Well, the whole idea of this guerrilla food photography, is that you can do it with a very simple camera and do it with things that are readily available. So we've got a good light reflector, for instance, is tinfoil. And tinfoil is a dual-purpose light reflector because it has a very shiny side and it has a duller side. So you get two qualities of light off it. A regular sheet of A4 paper can act as a very effective fill, certainly when you're doing close-up. And it can also act as a diffuser. So if you've got very strong light, which is giving you massive contrast problems, you know, your areas of light and areas of dark are just too far apart and the camera is throwing up its hands going, well, I give up now because I can't see into the shadows or I can't hold the highlight detail. You can actually just put between what you're photographing and the glaring sun, which we have here today in Ireland.
Shock horror.
We're into the second half of the summer. The first half was yesterday. You can put a sheet of paper and that will bring the contrast right down. And certainly, from what I've been told by Tanya, the light levels in Cuba are pretty bright. That's a, you know, you're still going to get a very usable exposure doing that. So that's so we've covered light modifying types of light, soft light and hard light. Soft light being nicely diffused light, hard light being light in direct sunlight, some compositional things, some creative aspects. Very important. Why are you taking a photograph? What is it you want to show? Do you want to show the ingredient? Do you want to show the dish in its entirety? Do you want to show context? Context in food photography is often overlooked, but it's very, very important. So we're just going to have a bit of a play around now. I'm going to get Tanya to take some pictures, going to set her some tasks, see how she gets on. And that will conclude the tutorial. And we'll come back. And at the end, Tanya's going to give a brutal and honest opinion of the education she's received today. So you might want to hang around for that. So we've had a bit of a play. And be honest, Tanya, that wasn't easy, was it?
No, it was really difficult, particularly when teacher is standing over you and you get really nervous. Well, when you're in the presence of someone who, and particularly because I know your work and I really admire it, it's very difficult because I'm measuring mine up against yours and we're just worlds apart.
I'll pay you later for that one. Now, and this is the reason for jumping in at this point of the tutorial is not to sit here going, oh, it's so difficult and what have you. Yes, it is, and you overcome that by doing it. But one thing that Tanya suddenly started to explain, which is really, really important, and many professional photographers can learn from this. Tanya, can you just repeat to me what you were saying about food photography and culture?
Something that I'm trying to achieve with what I'm going to write about and photograph is that food is a reflection of the culture of the country. And for me, I need to be able to convey in my photographs food that comes from Cuba. Cuba is a country of massive contrast. So for me, if I take a beautiful photo that's on a lovely pale bleached background and very understated, that actually doesn't reflect accurately what Cuba and Cuban food is about. So somehow I have to find a voice or an image or a style in my photography that manages to convey not just the food, but also the context and the culture from where it comes from. So that's something I'm going to have to really play around with and experiment an awful lot, and something that's become very, very obvious this afternoon.
Now, there are many professional photographers out there who do not even grasp that. This is like advanced photography, vision and voice. This is beyond what you would expect to be talking about to somebody who's starting out on their photographic career. I'm actually astonished that you've come out with it, because that is fabulous. This is exactly where you, how you should be approaching your photography. It's exactly what you should be doing. You should be going, well, I have a story to tell, and the story is this, and this is how I see the world, and this is the context I'm in. And then you're working from that basis. You're not working from the basis of, well, this is what I've seen somebody else do. Okay? And that will give you a natural, unique, genuine voice. And that's going to help your photography. That will help, and I'm talking to everybody now, not just Tanya. That will help your photography. It will help you if you're a writer and you're in your blogging. Whatever you do, if you can connect with a genuineness in you and a genuine voice, and also, as Tanya's been talking about, which is really, I find really impressive, is the thought that's already gone into, this is the location I'm going to, these are the things I'm going to encounter, this is the life and the vibrancy of the culture, that's what I want to reflect in my photography. Well, that's a massive step forward. That's more than I could even teach anybody. Forget all the technique, forget all the composition, forget, if there was one thing that I could teach photographers, it would be that story, the vision, the voice, you know. Find the story you want to tell and find your vocabulary. That would be the one thing. So I'm very proud of my student.
And the student is now blushing.
But no, very seriously, you do not get very many people who approach photography that way. Okay, we're just going to do a couple more things, one or two more things, and then we're going to have a wrap up and we'll be back with you anon. Right, we're just going to finish up. We've just done an exercise. Well, not really an exercise. We're just playing around with some homegrown asparagus and just trying some various things to make that look good. And we're just going to do a roundup now. And Tanya, there was just one thing you were saying there that I should write down. Can you just tell the listeners what that was?
Go in closer than you are comfortable with. I think for me, certainly, and I'm sure for many other amateur food photographers, the tendency is to come back away from the subject, to, I don't know, get it in context or get the whole plate. But actually, when we were looking at asparagus right now, I started off thinking that my story was going to be the bunch of asparagus. And actually, by you saying that, go in closer than you're comfortable with, I went right in and I picked up such lovely detail in terms of the purple on the stalk and everything. So I think that for me is something that I wouldn't have been comfortable with, and I'm going to push myself to do more of going forward.
Okay, so a learning is get closer, get uncomfortably close, almost. Right, Tanya, you're now going to give an overview, and you're not going to talk about anything that you enjoyed this afternoon or anything that was useful, because that's no good to me. I need to hear about the things that that you found difficult, and the things that the gaps you might still have. I've put you on the spot now, haven't I?
Yeah, you are. I think, in terms of technical know-how, the theory and the way you explain it is great. Putting it into practice and actually putting people on the spot is very uncomfortable. But it's really good, because it forces you to concentrate your mind, and it forces you, and certainly me, I talk through the process out loud. So I'm talking about my aperture and what do I do? Ooh, that's out of focus. Oh, it's not on the rule of thirds. And I think verbalizing it for me certainly helps. I don't know about other people. The other thing that for me came out, and it's actually nothing to do with photography at all really, is the psychology of it, or the resistance, I think you called it, a word borrowed from someone else.
That's not my concept, it's a Steven Pressburger, I think, is the resistance man.
which is we're so self-critical, me probably more than most, and we just need to do the whole Nike thing, just do it. Get in there, have a go, and also push yourself. You were talking about adopting a professional manner and setting yourself goals and tasks and photographing, writing, and then publish it. And but only by doing that will you get better. That for me is probably the biggest takeout from today. I just have to take the bloody photos and get them up there and not be afraid.
Well, that's the many photographers, many bloggers are self-taught. So there you are. And the only way we can teach ourselves is to just go and do it. So there we are. That's my first attempt at teaching a blogger how to take photographs. And the results, well, we won't know until Tanya is in Cuba and posting pictures. If her photographs are dreadful, I take full responsibility. If they are, on the other hand, beautiful and wonderful and full of story and life, then that's all Tanya's doing. Thanks for joining us. And post some pictures of your own. Go and write about food. We like that sort of thing.